It's a big week for Sports Business Journal with the release Wednesday of the 100th episode of the Marchand and Aran Sports Media Podcast. This has been a must listen for the top executives in sports. Trust me, I travel with John Aran to big events, and he's a celebrity for his expertise and great information. It'll be a fun episode as John and his co-host Andrew Marchand will speak with Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, and they'll reveal the top five sports media stories from the first 100 episodes of the pod. Really proud of both of these individuals for taking a germ of an idea and making it such a staple of people's podcast routine. Look for the 100th episode of the Marchand and Aran Sports Media Podcast on Wednesday on sportsbusinessjournal.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And this is your morning buzzcast for Tuesday, August 15th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcorp. I was thinking over the weekend that baseball is shaping up to have a wild final 6 weeks as there are a number of compelling races, teams, and players in the mix. And fans are noticing the attendance numbers have been strong. Baseball has now had 9 weekends of more than 1.5 million in total attendance this season. That's by far much better than any attendance numbers of the last 4 full seasons of an MLB schedule. So ticket sales, their ticket strategies are smarter, their ticket sales are better, and it's obviously showing up at the box office. You know, I couldn't help but notice the Marlins' wild comeback on Sunday against the Yankees, and then saw that the Marlins' 3-game attendance total for the Yankees series was just over 100,000 fans. That's the best figure for a 3-game Marlins series in Lone Depot Park history. Sunday's sellout had a total attendance of more than 35,000 fans. That's the club's third largest crowd for a non-opening day game at the facility. Of course, Yankee fans were huge numbers over the weekend. They always come out for the Yankees, and the Yankees are a great draw. And to be fair, the Marlins still rank at the bottom of the National League with their average attendance of just over 14,000. But that number still represents a 26% increase over their average last season. The team clearly in the mix for a wild card. Local fans are starting to notice, but certainly the weekend numbers were boosted by Yankee stalwarts. Meanwhile, don't invite former Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria and Derek Jeter to the same dinner party. Loria, who sold the team to Jeter and Bruce Sherman in 2017, said in an interview that Derek Jeter destroyed the ballpark. He referenced Jeter's move to take down that high-profile sculpture in center field that erupted whenever a Marlins player hit a home run or when the Marlins won a game. Loria also criticized Jeter's management of the team, his player personnel moves, and just his overall leadership. So Jeffrey Loria, not a lot of kind things to say about Derek Jeter's leadership of the Marlins. Let's stay with baseball. In case you missed it in SBJ history on Monday, yesterday was the 9th anniversary of Rob Manfred elected as the 10th commissioner of Major League Baseball. Manfred was elected on August 14th, 2014. Remember, that came after 6 rounds of voting by baseball's 30 owners. One of the other 2 finalists was Tim Brosnan. He was the league's top business executive. He withdrew from the process shortly before the voting began. Now, Tom Werner, a co-owner of the Boston Red Sox, was the other finalist for the job, but Manfred emerged again after the 6th round of voting. Manfred is having, I think, arguably his best year as baseball's leader. With all the energy on the field and the rule changes, Manfred recently received a contract extension that will continue his tenure through January 25th of 2029. Meanwhile, Rob Manfred will visit Kansas City on Wednesday to push for a new Royals ballpark. Royals owner John Sherman has been lobbying for a new Royals facility for the past 10 months or so. Manfred will speak about how new ballparks and baseball districts have impacted cities across the country. John Sherman, hopes to know the future plans for a new Royals home by the end of September. Speaking of commissioners making site visits, we have talked about the WNBA's plans to expand, and the league will start talking to markets this week as Commissioner Kathy Engelbert will visit Denver on Wednesday to meet with local investors and look at potential sites for a new team. Now, Denver has been named one of the 10 cities that the W is interested in as a possible expansion market. It's also one of only a few major cities that doesn't have a professional women's sports team. Now, the other candidates in the mix for possible W expansion are Nashville, Toronto, Ontario, Austin, Charlotte, Philadelphia, Portland, and the Bay Area in California. No timetable for the WNBA's expansion has been released. You know, since the U.S. team is out of the Women's World Cup, I've noticed a noticeable lack of buzz around the event. But a good source in Australia texted me late last night saying how amazing the atmosphere has been in that country and that it was setting records for attendance at the tournament and that everybody was into it. And FIFA did note that more than 1.7 million tickets have been sold. That is a record. There are still four more games to play. The average crowd for games across the 10 venues has been almost 29,000 fans per game. That's far ahead of the 2019 edition in France and easily ahead of the historical averages of the eight previous Women's World Cup. So this event is delivering in Australia. It's another big, big step forward for women's sports. You know, it's incredibly powerful for a sports brand, for a sports team, when a large quick service restaurant or retailer gets behind the brand. It can do so much to lift interest and attention. Here's an example. We all know the Detroit Lions are one of the NFL's preseason darlings, and they are heavily hyped to have a big year. Well, now McDonald's, yes, McDonald's is even getting on the Lions bus. The QSR is running a promotion where Lions fans this season will get a free Big Mac after buying one at McDonald's after the team records an interception during the previous game. In addition to the Big Mac deal, McDonald's is creating a Lions-themed to-go box that will be available starting later this month. So again, it may seem trivial to some, but I can guarantee the Lions marketing and sales staff and business staff, they are giddy with such promotion. It always helps when a third party does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, and this will get a lot of people talking about the team, and you'll certainly see a lot of chatter about the Lions in connection with McDonald's. And again, the team loves this type of activation. Today is a big day for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as members of the Coaches and Contributor Committee will meet to select one coach or contributor for the class of 2024. And there are some very worthy names under consideration, including Tom Coughlin, Mike Holmgren, Dan Reeves, Robert Kraft, Art Rooney Jr., Marty Schottenheimer, Mike Shanahan, all strong names, and this is their pathway to get to the Hall of Fame by this Coaches and Contributor Committee. They will vote for one of these individuals. The results should be out later Tuesday. And tell me you wouldn't want to go to this class and have Peyton Manning as your instructor? Yes, Peyton Manning has joined the University of Tennessee's College of Communication faculty. And he will be a professor starting this fall. He'll teach a course on such topics as sports reporting, video production, and performance. Also, he'll speak on leadership, public speaking, and communication. He is good at all of those. And something tells me this would be a fun and funny class to be a part of. So sign me up. Finally, make sure to spend some time with SBJ's fantastic profile of Al Michaels. It's the cover story of SBJ. It's by Tom Friend. It is a great, great look at some of the stories and memories of Al Michaels' career. And yes, of course, he talks about his legendary Do You Believe in Miracles call as the U.S. hockey team beat Russia in 1980. But longtime producer Fred Gadelli makes the case that this wasn't Al Michaels' best call. He suggests Al Michaels' call of the Malcolm Butler interception at the end of the Super Bowl in 2015 as the Patriots beat the Seahawks. He believes that is Al Michaels' best call. Gadelli called it one of the most amazing calls just because of the timing and that Malcolm Butler was a backup who barely played, yet Al Michaels was certainly right on the call as Butler just came into the game. There are a lot of great insights and recollections in the cover story, so please be sure to give it a read. It is worth your time. So I started with SBJ and the Marchand and Aran Sports Media Podcast. I ended with SBJ on our cover story on Al Michaels. That is all the in-house hype you will get this week on the Morning Buzzcast. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, August 15th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.